Going forward with this story that we started, I think Genesis 37 and 38, wherever we started, 39. But we're not going back there again. God bless you. You dab, too. We're going to keep moving forward. Touch base on a couple of things, though. Joseph, his life, his process. This is what this message is about. The process to greatness. That should have been the title, right? Hey! So you can make that the subtitle, right? So here's the thing. This message, as most of my messages, are born out of where I am and what I'm experiencing, what I'm going through. I don't try to step in and get deep with you. I try to tell you where I'm at and what God is walking me through and share with you the things God is walking me through that he can walk you through. Somebody should say to Mike all the time, listen, I'm just maybe a step ahead of two or two of you, in front of you. I haven't mastered it. So you'll get to watch me figure it out. You'll get to see me jump in the water. And if I don't drown, you can go, okay, then the water's good. And then you'll get to jump in after me. And I like that way. I like to be taught from the perspective of I'm a visual learner. You know, people can read books. Some people, they like to read a manual. I like to flip through the manual and look at the pictures and then look on the box and see what it looks like put together. That's what it looks like put together. That's what it looks like apart. So whatever, all these pieces here need to make this look like that. Boom, got it. And it works for me. People say they do it and they have 15 screws left. No, that works for me. I'm looking at the screws and everything on the picture. I'm figuring it out. That's how I work. I learn that way. I learn better visually. Thank God for YouTube. That was a blessing from the Lord because I could watch me a video and get my thing together. Now, so I try to be visual even in my explanations and my teaching. I'm sure those of you who've been around understand that. What the danger of, if you could call it a danger, of Bible reading for people is this. In several chapters, there's the story, there's the conflict, and then there's the solution in the great happy ending. So people get off into believing that this happened in this person's life the same length of time it took you to read it. You get it? You think, well, it took me 15 minutes to read this. This person went through this for 15 minutes. No, this a lot of times, this years. And what I want to bring to your attention before we go forward is Joseph's process. When Joseph was sold, he was a boy. By the time he meets his father again, he has kids. His brothers have kids. His father is near death. He's grown. He's a man. Well, he put him in jail, and, you know, next thing you know, the guy made him captain over the jail. What? As soon as he walked in? Ooh, you be captain. No, he watched his process over time. He watched his commitment to excellence over time. He entrusted to him probably a little here and a little there and a little more responsibility here to the point that he got to the place that he could trust Joseph with everything and then turn the rights of everything he had over to him except for what he ate, just like Potiphar did. I don't think Potiphar said, wow, bring this kid here, let him work for me, and I'm just going to put him in charge of everything. There's a process of years of him proving himself. And people need to understand something. I'm learning, and I've learned, and I'm still learning this. You prove yourself not in just your ability to do correct, but in how you deal with failure. People look to see how you bounce back after adversity before they decide they can trust you with everything they own. Joseph came in and everything he did was good. So, well, how did he know everything prospered? In one day? In one week? After a few minutes of looking at him and talking to him, he figured out everything Joseph does prospered? Everything Joseph did prospered means he had to watch him over a period of time do several things. Church folk love happy ending stories. But they don't like dealing with the tough middle. That gets to, I pray and I ask Jesus and I know the Lord to make a way. And what they mean by that is, I'm going to say a prayer. God's just going to turn it all around for me. I got to learn nothing. I don't have to be repentant. I don't have to own mistakes. I don't have to make adjustments in my spirit about who I am and how I see things. I just ask Jesus. Well, these are the reasons that victories evade us. Not kept from you. Maybe it's somebody here that just can't seem to get a hold of it in any kind of way. But I believe everybody in this room, it's not like, no, you can't see it. No, your hopes are totally crushed and you got nothing. It's like it just seems that you step close to it and it steps two steps back. And you run up and it runs back. And then you get real close and you're just about to touch it and it goes ghost. But it's still there. Hope's still alive. But frustration is setting in because the scripture says hope deferred makes a heart sick. Well, that would say to me that God doesn't want to defer your hope. I don't think he wants to make your heart sick. So the deference is our inability to receive that which God has prepared for us. Let me see if I remember what I said. No, see? Oh, she wants to write it word for word. Send her a text. Our inability to receive what God has for us is what delays the blessings. It's not God saying, well, I know how much you can stand, so I'm going to just dangle it in front of your face as long as I can. There's a process to receiving provision. There's a process to receiving greatness. There's a process to receiving abundance. They're not all the same process. So some of you have gotten to the place where your needs are met and your bills are paid. And I'm sure you remember a time when you didn't even have that. Yeah? Somebody? Okay. So now you've learned to walk with God enough that you know that, listen, my phone ain't going to go off. I remember a time I was every month concerned about how I was going to keep my beeper on. We didn't have cell phones, it was beepers. Beeper was a luxury. Wow. I remember having a celebration in my own spirit and self. The first time I kept the same phone number for over a year. And it was in my name. See, some of us, we forget this. We get comfortable in the blessings of God. We forget where we were when the things we have today were wishes and dreams and blessings to us that we thought we may never achieve. We heard people talk about it, and you would say, praise the Lord, must be nice. But now you're there. And sometimes in pursuit of the next thing, you forget to be grateful for the accomplishments that you've already made in God. But let me just add this, and I didn't plan to go this long, but I feel it's necessary to say this as a good foundation. The thing that makes me sure that God can do what he said he's going to do is the fact that he's done what he's done so far. And sometimes you have to look like that. The scripture says David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's what he did. He stopped and he thought about in his roughest times. I remember I had a rough time before. Matter of fact, it was a little rougher than this because I remember when the king was trying to kill me, was chasing me around with an army trying to take my life. So even though what I'm going through today is really, really rough, there was a time I wasn't even in the palace. I will never stand up here and tell you God is the author of your suffering and pain. I don't believe there's a scripture that backs that up. I don't care how many church people preach it. But I believe that those things line up with who we are to get us to where we need to be. All things work together for the good for those who love God or according to his purpose. So God already knows you're arrogant, SOB, hard-headed, ain't trying to listen to nobody, ain't never trying to be wrong ever, ain't never trying to be, always want to be right, think you know everything, always want to teach everybody something because you think you know a little bit better than them. Yeah, these are all things that were traits in my life. So if you anybody think I'm specifically talking about you, yes, the Lord is talking to you. I'm talking about me. And God would say to me, you know, you talk too much. Well, Lord, you made me the way I am. Yeah, but now let me lead you on when you talk a lot, what to talk about. Because you talk too much about stuff that feels right to you. So now let's take this back to the story. So here's Joseph, who is the one with the dreams. Brags about him to his brothers and stuff all along. Father's favorite. I shared with you last week why he was his father's favorite. Father was spiting the big brother. Not a nice thing to do. Joseph didn't have a problem with it. He was enjoying the benefits and made sure that he threw it in their faces. They saw him coming. They said, let's kill him. It's pretty serious when you got 11 brothers that are all in agreement with killing you. I mean, not shunning you. Let's kill him. And then the older brother says, no, let's not kill him. Let's just sell him as a slave to somebody. That's still deep. You a rich kid. You ain't never had to work a day in your life. You sit around dreaming with your coat of many colors. And they're going to sell you off into slavery. Us people of color know a little something about that. It wasn't a nice occupation, if you would call it that. It's a bad place to be. But like I said, over that, you begin to see that they say they saw his work ethic and saw that God was with him and began to put him in charge of things. So during the course of that experience, his arrogance began to change. The amount that he knew how to run his mouth probably became more, and dream became more doing than dreaming, because that was now not an option. This is what you do. You work. But he worked with a work ethic. I have a work ethic. When I do something, I work so hard sometimes that my body just collapses. I just overdo stuff. But I have a work ethic. I'll come in and try to do in a day a week's work worth of work. The problem is, if you do a week's work worth of work in a day, when you can't call the boss and say, okay, I want to take tomorrow off because I did a week. He's like, no, you don't set a pattern now. Come back in and do another week's worth of work tomorrow. You know? This is the flow now, and I know. And so I have to learn sometime when I'm doing things to budget myself, especially if I do it for somebody, because they say, well, you did a week's worth of work in one day. You should be doing that every day now. Joseph had something figured out. Whatever his flow was, people were satisfied with his commitment to their business. Let's keep this in mind again. Joseph was a slave, not employee. You didn't catch that. He was a slave. He didn't say, I work for Potiphar. Benefits are good. Good salary. Get a whole month vacation a year. 21 days. No, he didn't get a salary every week. He didn't get paid for what he did. Dissatisfaction with your work wasn't met with you're fired. It was you're dead or you're in jail. You understand? He didn't have a job. He was a slave. Forced labor. So he excelled in a situation where you work here or you die. For them to see a work ethic in him, to promote him to the level that they promoted him, where he was the head over everything in Potiphar's house, and all Potiphar cared about was the food he ate, it's big. In that process, as I said, he gained some enemies. The wife tried to seduce him. He said no. The wife lied and said he tried to rape me. Now, let me tell you something. I'm just being me. That's some animosity. I don't know, maybe she was pissed that he would have the nerve to turn her down. But I'm kind of more of the thought that they probably sat down and said, you know, he don't even belong here. He a slave. And now all the Egyptians have to answer to him in Potiphar's house. He's the captain of the army. And he said he put him in charge over everything, so the slave now is boss over the citizens. That's some good working. And I'm sure there may have been a little coup. Listen, when they do the Ten Commandments and stuff on TV, they put their own stuff in it. I'm just imagining how people focus, how people will see things. So they set him up and they throw him in jail and they try to ruin his life forever. Here's a man serving a sentence for something he didn't do. He's in jail as a sexual assaulter in a country that he doesn't even belong in with an indefinite sentence. It didn't say, and he put him in there for 6 months. It sounds to me like they threw him in there to rot. But this dream happens. These two, and again, I said it last week, this was more like Fed jail. This wasn't Rikers, because it said it was where the king's prisoners went. So his cupbearer and his baker winds up getting thrown in jail, and this is what we're going to pick up. And in the process, they have troubling dreams. Joseph's in charge of the jail. So here they come to jail now. You're still with me on this picture? I'm beating this picture in because I really need you to get this. So the cupbearer and the baker come to jail. And who's in charge of the jail? Wait a minute. So again, where did they just come from, the cupbearer and the baker? The palace. To come to jail to be under the slave again. That's an anointing on his life that his work ethic continues to promote him to the top. They knew God was with him because what he produced was proof. Why am I making that with such a strong voice? Because church people want to be acknowledged as godly men and women based on the fact that they say it. That they preach loud and tell you, God said to me. And that alone is enough for most people to believe that somebody's a godly man and woman and God is with them. I can drop the mic right there, baby. Joseph was shown to be a godly man by his production. You could see God was with him because the things he did prospered. Don't keep telling me how godly you are and how much word of God you hear when your production can't speak for you. when your works don't demonstrate the God you boast about. Faith without works is dead has a whole new meaning to me now. Because these men who were not fellow believers, they were Egyptians, they did not believe in Joseph's God whatsoever, but they saw his God by his production, what came out of him, the levels of success. This is huge. This is a place in my life that I seek with all my heart. And I can see areas in my life that's very clearly true for me. God has had me make decisions and do things for my life that has put me in a very, very good place. Very good place. I'm good for life. If I, because I'm not into the bling and all the flash anyway. So just to live in the good, moderate lifestyle that I have, and my lifestyle is very nice. Can't say it's because we got a mega church, because that is not the case. God made me make decisions. Say, God, help me make right decisions. Now, I just took a side journey for a minute, but I just want to make sure we get this. Because if you're still a Christian, I'm veering off the message just a little bit, just to make a point. Is that okay? Yeah. If I can do that, wave a hand at me, if you don't mind me doing it. I just want to make a side note. Christians have a tendency to seek God for the moment. If you could bear witness, wave another hand at me. We're in a situation right now, we need God. I'm not saying you don't pray to him all the time, but I mean, God is the break glass in the case of the emergency situation. I'm here, I need to hear from you, Lord. What do you need to hear from me, child? How to deal with this situation? Am I wrong? God is supposed to be the plan maker for our lives, our future. I'm not supposed to be seeking God how to pay my rent. I'm supposed to be seeking God on, my rent is paid, how can I be a blessing to the nation with the blessing you've given me? And if you're thinking ahead and not just your momentary situations, you begin to see a different kind of God. I'm just offering you that as a promise. I've said this before, I say it again. Poland Springs does not pray for water. Then nobody's walking around that works for Poland Springs thirsty. There's not one thirsty employee in the house because they distribute water. Now, they might need a burger, but they don't pray for water. There's always something to drink. Toilets are working, sinks are working. It's a water place. If you're God's distribution center, he'll keep you stocked. If you pray for your needs, you may get by. But if you seek to be a channel of distribution, you stopped. Wayne, hey, let me say something. But since we met you on the line, you came in here and started serving like Joseph, baby. Wind up being the head over everybody that comes in under us. We don't have to worry about that. Wayne got that. He'll stock that pantry. He'll make sure the stuff is there that we need to get out. Wayne, everybody that comes in who's been in church before you, reports to you. Let's talk about this. Now, because you run the pantry, Your cabinets in your house empty? Nope. Thank you. That's my point. That's my point. Wayne go down there and get a little bag and say, okay, I can use some of this oatmeal. I can take a little bit of that because it's due. And we don't say nothing. You good, Wayne? Yeah, good. All right now. Come on now. This is our pantry. Wayne got free run. Go down there with a bag and pack up, go shopping downstairs. Because of his effort in helping the vision that God gave us to do, to serve the people, that's opened the door for him to enjoy the benefits. So get out of being, God, how do I meet my needs? Become a storehouse for God, a warehouse for God, or a real good warehouse worker. Because me and my wife go down there with our bag too. When she's online ordering stuff, she's like, ooh, we could use a couple of those. Come on now. So understand this. Joseph's work ethic put him in a place that people put the responsibility of their whole house. That means he had bank account numbers. He had their debit cards. He had their ATM PIN numbers. He had all that stuff. He had the key to the Lexus, and he had the keys to the range, and he had the key to the Maybach. He had all of that. It wasn't his, but it was his. This mentality that, especially I see in the church folks, and it's black and white. It ain't a black people thing only. I've seen it on all sides. God bless me so I can be the one. Make me shine so that I'm recognized. And God said, but who are you making shine? So you asking me to make you shine, but you don't make nobody shine. Huh. You keep on with that prayer. We'll talk for the next 20 years. Who do you prefer over you? See, people don't understand this. Because when I was in ministries, I served like Joseph. From mopping, to sweeping, to playing in the band, to setting up the room, to breaking it down. First one there, last one out. That's why I'm set for life. That's why I'm set for life. Because God honors honor. God honors honor. Did we learn something so far? So let's move this on. So people tell a Joseph story and they always talk about stuff other than what I'm sharing today. Good stuff. But there are nuances here. So now, this woman lies on him. He's in jail. The cupbearer and baker come in. We covered that last week. They have a dream. Joseph gives, I think, the baker his interpretation first, right? The baker's the one who lives, yeah? The cupbearer lives, thank you. So he gives the cupbearer his thing first. You're going to be freed here in a few days. They're going to promote you to your place. And let's pick it up in the scripture, because this is good. Because I love what Joseph says. Let's go back to, here we are. We're in 40. And I'm at verse 12. Should I pick back up from there? Yeah, let's go from there. So from verse 12, thank you, Rhonda. This is what it means, Joseph said to him. Three branches are 3 days. And with 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up his head and restore you to your position, and will put Pharaoh's and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand. That's a powerful position. That, let me make sure you understand that. If you knew that your job was to get my coffee every day, and that's your job, you may not be happy about that. If you found out your job was to get Obama his coffee every day, you may feel a little bit different about that. You would say to a person who has a job working on Wall Street, making good money, proudly, I get Obama's coffee. And say that with some, I need you to get what I just said. I don't think you'll get that. If you worked downtown on Wall Street with somebody, when I worked on Wall Street, I did IT. So I was like a god in the company, at least in my own mind. People called me when they needed stuff fixed or they needed to understand how to get the software going, or how to get the server put up on this network, and why is it not working? And they gave me a call, and I walked in the room, and all eyes were on me because y'all can't make no money till I fix your stuff. And I knew it. And I'm down in Wall Street, down in the early 90s, and this complexion was rare in IT. I was the only one there. So when I walked in there, I had an extra little swag. Because the brother's here. And I fixed those servers right there. I set those servers up. Only I know how they work. To the point that when I left the job, they were calling me at my new job saying, listen, could you, and my boss had to say, listen, are they paying you? That's why I got that mentality that you're hearing me say, are you getting paid for that? He said, they're calling you here on this job where I'm paying you, asking you how to fix that stuff? He said, I want to see a check come through here and I want a piece. I said, I like you. And I said to them, yeah, you want your service fixed, you need to pay me. And I need $250 an hour to come down and look at your service. And they found a new way to do what they were doing. They got rid of them service. But my point is, it would have been nice if they said okay, but they did not. But but my point is this. The job that God gave the cupbearer was an important job. Because of who he did it for, not because of what he did. So those people in that job, the guy who worked in the mailroom, no matter what color he was, he knew who I was. And I had a couple of brothers that worked in the mailroom. And one of them pulled me aside one day and said, I want to let you know you're our champion. I'm like, say what? Say what now? He said, no. He said, I see you going in and out the meetings and sitting around the table and you sitting with all the suits. And, you know, he said, me and the brothers down there, kind of like one of us is up there. I was like, well, all right, now I want to represent you right then and make sure I do it right. But really, I wanted to represent the Lord right. And that's what I was doing. I was good at my job. Now, me being in that position, meeting the person who's the cupbearer for Bill Gates, his position outshines my position because of who he does it for. I guarantee you he makes more money handling the cup than I did doing the service. You getting it now? So his position is powerful. He's been restored to this position. He's been restored to the position. He gets to touch the hand of Pharaoh. That's a powerful position. So here's what that means. Am I going too slow for you today? Because I know so many points I want to make, and I just want to make sure I get to them all. That means he somewhere, listen close, somehow, like Joseph, proved himself worthy to be in that position. He got to the point that he stood by the king and gave the king his cup. Bought him his drink, knew exactly how cold he liked it, and what time of morning he wanted it. He proved himself worthy over thousands of servants, probably, of being worthy of that position. To the point that he was thrown in jail, and King said, nah, we need to get him out. And brought him back and restored him. I'm talking about you right now. Because our mentality is, what's somebody going to do for us? Especially God. We think God's our cupbearer. I love when the room gets quiet like that, because you know I'm telling the truth. And if we're not careful, we get very into, I'm upset with God. Why? Because he didn't bring my cup the way I like it. Selah. Let's move it on. So, he says, but when all goes well, this is Joseph still talking to the cupbearer, remember me and show me kindness, mention me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this prison. Now, mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. So that means Joseph thinks this man has enough power to get his prison sentence overturned. He's close enough to Pharaoh. Are you listening to me? This man is a powerful man then. He's close enough to Pharaoh that if you mention me to Pharaoh, he could get me out of jail. Tell him my story. Potiphar, my old boss, the captain of your army, his wife lied. Now, here's what we don't understand. How many years was Joseph in jail before this happened? It's not said. But I get the sense it wasn't a week. I get the sense it could have been years. Now, let's keep it moving. When the baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he asked Joseph for him to tell him, and Joseph told him his, and at the end of the day, he was going to die. So yeah, don't be running to try to get a word because somebody else got a word, because your word might not be so nice. Well, it's a lot of the people you go to today, every so-called prophet has a good word. Every prophet that you go to in every church is, I see you prospering and God doing great things with you. It looks like that's the lying wonder of prophecy today. Tell everybody something good. I've come to you, some of you, and told you some things that wasn't so good. I come and told you, I've seen some things like this, and you need to pray about this because it's real. And I'm telling you, and some of you are very much like people are all over the world. When I tell you the good stuff, hallelujah, I receive that. When I tell you the stuff that you don't want to hear, there's this kind of like, I'm not going to take account of that. I'm not going to agree. I'm not going to disagree. I'm not going to own it. I'm not going to disown it. Okay, well, all right. I'll pray about that. But when I told you the thing you want to hear, you didn't say, I'll pray about that. I can't stand people like that. Just to let you know, I can't tolerate people like that. There's no integrity. There's no God character in you. You may be God acting and living, but your life and the fruit and the fact that all of the stuff that comes out of your life proves the fact that you be set. You ain't going back. You ain't going forward. You just flowing. Serious. Serious stuff. I had to learn to take the rebuke as good and the correction as good as I took the praise. Matter of fact, some cases I had to learn to take the correction better than I took the praise. Because the praise was something you're already doing. The correction's for something you need to learn and need to do. Selah again. Now, last verse of this chapter. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Yeah, he got his position back. He like, yeah, whatever, that's his problem. Next chapter. Somebody read those first five words. How many years? See, it didn't happen overnight, none of this. 2 full years had passed since he said, remember me when you get out. Are we okay over there? We all right? I want to know what the joke is. It's a long time. No, and y'all can speak. I like to know. I like to hear the interaction. Because let me tell you this. 2 years added on to however many years he's already been there. He said, brother, remember me. I just hooked you up. Yeah, I got you. I'm sure we met people like that. You know I got you, man. My heart, bro. Yo. Got you. Got out and got his good position, forgot all about him for 2 years. So I'm sure, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? At this point, this word that was maybe encouraging is now a forgotten word to you. He don't remember you. You don't hear about his parties and the good times he's having and the new mansion he just got. And you, so you know I'm forgotten, right? And 2 years have passed. 2 years have passed. And the word spoken over you hasn't happened yet. Most people don't even make it 2 years. They really don't. Most Christians, a couple of months, and they throw it down. Well, that must not have been God. Somebody say 2 years. 2 years. And Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile, and I won't go through the whole thing, but he saw cows, healthy cows, fat cows, and then he saw some wretched cows come up out of the sea and eat the good cows. And then he saw it turn around again and go in reverse. And with seven. He's upset, and he calls on his guys that interpret. So going to verse 8, in the morning, his mind was troubled, and he sent for all of his magicians, the wise men of Egypt. Pay attention. Pharaoh told him his dream, but no one could interpret it for him. Now see, this is when you get beheaded in these kind of situations, because if your job is to be the magic man and interpret my dreams as king, and you can't do that job, why do I need you? Come on now. Cupbearer now in his position says to Pharaoh, today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Let me say that again. Because I know we want to move on with the story. That's not the story I'm trying to tell. Say today. I am reminded of all the good things I've done. That's not what it says. See, we like being reminded of all the good stuff we do. We don't like being reminded of our shortcomings. Lack of integrity. Now I understand why he was restored back to his position with the king. Because he came to the place of acknowledgement. Hallelujah. To the point that he could freely talk about it. The king didn't bring up his shortcomings. He did. Today I'm reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servant, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream that same night, and each dream had its own meaning. A young Hebrew, he remembers him now, was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dream, and he interpreted for us, giving each man an interpretation to his dream. And those things turned out exactly how he interpreted. I was restored to my position, and the other man was killed. Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. He was shaved, changed his clothes, and he came before Pharaoh. Now stop. Again, let's stay with the picture here. Say this with me just so you'll know where I'm going. When God does move, he moves quickly. I'm in a pay attention pose. This is my pay attention. Listen close to what I'm saying. Church has taught you, you got to go through stuff. It takes time. God, you never know. God is trying to see what you're going to do. And all the stupidity that's not biblical. And it's just whatever. And keep believing it if you want. I don't care. It don't affect my life. Here's my point. In every situation in my life, and people who've worked with me know, I get a word from God. It's usually a matter of a day or two that we see it. When I came to you, Angela, when we were homeless and said, this is it, God told me we would never be in this place again. It was a week and a half to 2 weeks. We had our own place. I had a new job, got a new car, and was on my way to making six figures in a matter of 18 months maximum. From homelessness, you're my witness. I looked you in the face and said, we will never be in this place again. And God did it. Like that. Because when it's God's move, God moves. God is not constrained by, well, I got to wait till your tax return come in. Those are not God's problems. God don't have limitations whether the boss give you a raise or not for him to bless you. God don't need your earthly situations to line up for him to move. Amen. Keep this with you as you go. This is just, you know how pastor's mind is. Pharaoh's in a messed up position. He calls his people that help. They can't help him. Who comes up with the answer? It's cupbearer. So based on that, who should be promoted to the top? But that's not how it went. Joseph wound up being cupbearer's boss. You need to catch this. Joseph wound up being Potiphar's boss. The one who put him in jail. And Potiphar's wife's boss. Who lied? Oh, come on. You're just not getting this. You're just not getting this. See, the power of the story is this. God said, you walk in the integrity that I need you to walk in. I'll fix that all. But here's the thing. Let's go back to the word here. If you're being blessed, say amen. If you're learning something, say hallelujah. Good. Listen. Verse 15. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said that when you hear a dream, you interpret it. And Joseph's response is, I cannot do it. Joseph replied, but God will give Pharaoh the answer to his desires. Now, me and Lindsay had this conversation the other day. Because if you look at all of the first accounts, pay close attention to what I'm about to say here. This is where, like, this is the real mic drop moment right here. When you listen to Joseph, when Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him, his statement's a lot different. He said, I'm in charge of everything. He trusts me with everything. I do it all. I hold it down. I make things work for him. I'm his main dude. I could never do that because I. And if you listen to him when he talks about his dreams, when he comes to his daddy and his brothers, he said, I. That's about me. I'm good to me. I. Because I'm so great and God has anointed me. I'm so special. Right? But now, after some time in jail, after some situations, he's saying, I can't do it. He's in a different place now, is he not? I want you to see what's happening to him before the promotion hits. I want to see what happens to him before he winds up being in charge of everybody. Now he's saying, I can't do it, but God not will give me, but will give Pharaoh. My God will answer you. He's moved himself to the place of, I'm just messenger now. I'm not the source that I was before. You catching this? His heart is different. And I've never heard anybody preach that. Like, his heart, look at the heart change from the way he used to talk. He walked around in his coat, and he was better than everybody. Then he wound up a slave, and he worked for Potiphar, and then he boasted, no, I handle all the Potiphar's house, and nothing is done without me. And now, he said, it's not me. It's God. See, when we get a gift from God and we learn to use that gift and we finally get obedient enough to God to begin to bless us with that gift, if we're not careful, we begin to believe that we are the author of the gift. If we're not careful, we begin to believe that I'm really doing this and God's helping me. And this goes to everybody in this room. Nobody's exempt. You know how I can prove it? Check your prayer life. How often are you asking God to help you with what you're doing? Not God, help me do what you've called me to do. God, I'm trying to do this, it's not working. Help me, Lord. Help me, Father. Help me, Jesus. So we're still in charge. Jesus works for us. Again, I tell you, I'm not talking about all y'all. Me too. This is the spot check that I'm going through. God, you've given me dreams and visions and business and things to do, and I know it turned into you helping me. No? No takers? Bless this gift, God. And then here's how we flip it, because you gave it to me. So fix it. Fix it, Jesus. This is the plan. Like I said, I come up and tell him myself. And God has to say to me, so wait a minute. So it's your vision now? I work for you now? I'm helping you now? I'm helping you figure it out when I gave it to you to do? How am I helping you figure out something that was my idea? If you've been a little guilty, just do like that. I'm going to wrap it up on this note. Joseph wanted to get put in charge of everybody. Now they bring his family back to him. His brothers come and he recognizes them. But here's what I need you to catch, even in that. This is powerful. That's not as soon as he gets in position. We're still talking 21 years. 7 years of famine, 7 years of prosperity, 7 years of famine, and then 7 years of prosperity again. And then his brothers come. So now we're talking about him being in position and entitled for 21 more years. Again, by the time he gets his family back, he's a grown man. And then the brothers come and bow. So take that 21 years, add the 4 or 5 years from jail, and how much long he worked at Potiphar's house, and we could be talking about maybe 35, 40 years. We don't know. But my point is, God's word still came to pass when he got him out of the way. You're sung it today. God has not forgotten. He didn't forget what he said. You may have forgot. You may have tried to twist it to go the way you thought it should go. Let me not say you. You'll give me this look like, stop saying me. I've done that. I've twisted it. I've tried to make my own thing with it. Only to wind up. Let me see if somebody else has been here in their life. Maybe we just need to be reminded. Have you ever been in a place with anything in your life where you got so into trying to do what you believe God told you to do, and then when you finally gave up and said, you know what, I just can't do it, then God moved? Anybody other than me had that experience? See? So why don't we just do that quickly then? why we keep waiting for 40 years? Why don't we just learn real quick, you know, until we let it go, God ain't going to move, and then just let go quick. Why don't you just think about something right now that you're still controlling? And just let it go right now. You don't need to fast and pray for 3 weeks. Right now, just decide, I'm not doing this no more. I've done it. It hasn't worked for me. And when I give it to him is when it works. Let me stop. This is where I am. This is the place I am in life. That God has said to me, everything I've given you, and he said, well, good intentions. God didn't tell me, you mean, evil thing, you know. So he said, yeah, I love your work ethic. However, how did my thing become your thing? Wow. God said, you get irritated as crap when somebody does that to you. Try to take the things you said and say to you like they're telling you it and you know you told them it. He said, and here you go. taking every vision and dream I've given you and running with it with your strength and power. And coming to me frustrated and, God, give me peace. God, give me strength. God, help me stand. God, I know you're moving. I know you got a plan, Lord. Just show me. He said, well, God couldn't show you anything. You took total charge of it. You telling me how to show you, tell me to show you how to do what you've already decided to do, not asking me to restore you to what I was doing. Am I talking? You know, listen, I don't give you a lot of jump up and down rolling the aisle messages, but this is some good stuff, though. If you use it, it'll work. You will jump up and down and roll in the aisles while you're in your home if you pay attention and you do this stuff. God's a genius, if we can use that word on God. He's a genius. He's a traffic master. I mean, he knows what's coming and what's going, and he knows how to direct the flow. He would be the best air traffic controller ever if there was. Because he knows everything that's coming in and out of your life. Before you were in your mother's womb, he knew your beginning from your end. He knew all the intersections you would come across and what would block your path. All of this stuff, he knows it. So here's the decision I've made. To get to this place, and you'll hear me every time I get up here, it's self-reflection, it's serious stuff. God, how do I get to the place where I let you be God, not ask you to help me, but let you be God, and I bring the cup. And I enjoy the benefits of your pantry because I work in it so well. But it's your pantry. I'd rather serve a cup of water to God than to make $50 million a year for a corporation. This is a powerful place to be. Stand with me. Finally got that done. How you feeling? Only a few people. How you feeling? You learned something. Give God a hand clap if you learned something. As we used to say back in the day, I don't know if people still use the phrase, I always keeps it real with y'all. Keeps it 100, right? I come and tell y'all where I'm at and what God is walking me through. Because at my age, I'm realizing I still got a lot to learn. I thought by the time I got this close to 60 that I would really have stuff all down by now. I thought I'd have it all figured out by 58. Come on, you know, I thought I'd have it all figured. But I'm starting to realize I'm just beginning to understand it. Because there's a different mentality, men and women of God, young men and young women. There's a different mentality that comes as you get older, as you start pushing up that ladder towards 60. You start to realize how much stuff just didn't work. And either you get frustrated and you stop dreaming, or you push past that frustration, which thank God I've been able to do, and reset your life. You start to take down all of the walls and altars that you built to your own self-importance. You start to dismantle your own idols and burn your father's bulls, and you know, and you begin to say, it's more to life than these things that I've made my pursuit. So if you had asked me 10 years ago, it would have been a palatial house with a lake view, and I own the lake too, and you know, and it becomes, what am I here for? My life is taken care of. You've been taken care of. You begin to see clearer how you have been taken care of. It's important to me at this point that I know why I'm here. that I understand how the rivers flow instead of trying to make the rivers flow. Did you catch that? We spend a lot of our life trying to make the rivers flow and make them flow the way we want them to flow. But you get to an age and point that you start to just want to understand how the rivers flow and then just get in them. Everything that God has called you to is real. All those dreams and fires in your heart that the devil's tried to snuff out again and again and again and again and again, they keep coming back because they're real. So we get in the flow. I tell people all the time, throw your oars away. Just let the sails guide you. But look like I'm going to run aground. Well, then that means it's time for you to get off that boat. There's a cart on the road. Now I'm going to stay on this boat. God put me on this boat. I know it's his plan. God's finished with the boat. Now you're still on the boat. Now you're sitting in the middle of some pond somewhere going nowhere, upset with God, when God's finished with the boat. God gave me this picture one time. It just blessed me. Because, you know, God speaks to me where I can understand. He said, you ever gotten a 40-foot bus and rode it to its end? I said, yeah, I know exactly where it ends, where it turns around down there, and by going towards River Park Tower and all that. He said, here's how your life is. I put you on the bus, and you say, oh, God put me on this bus. This is it. Take me to my destination. He said, gave you the transfer. Back then, they used to give you a transfer in your hand, the paper one. They'd peel it off and give it to you, right? You sat on the bus. Bus got to the end. Bus driver got out, went, got some coffee. You sitting there on the bus. Come on, let's go. Next thing you know, you're on your way back to where you came from. Because you were supposed to get off that bus and connect to another one. So you took a means and made it the way. God said, you got to be sensitive. Even if I tell you to get on the bus, there comes a time that you get off. You should have been on the plane 5 years ago. You're still going back and forth on the bus in the Bronx. You with me? We need to be a sensitive people. And when we do hear from God, we need to not get so excited with the word that we heard that we don't hear nothing else. You caught that? Because we do that, we're guilty of that. Whoo, the Lord spoke and it must be God. You got a business venture. Whoo, what God's plan for me is, let me show God how he needs to do it. God might say, I want you to do that for 3 months, then I want you to do it no more. No, I got a thing happening now. Okay. Back and forth and back and forth we go. I want you to do that just to get you in this door. So I'm sure if Joseph had a choice, are you listening to me? He would have worked for Potiphar forever. It was a good life. Better than where he was. But God said, I didn't call you to work for Potiphar. I'm going to have Potiphar eventually work for you. Nah, Potiphar's good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Potiphar. Yeah. You can shout and praise all you want. Your walk with Potiphar is limited. What I've called you to is bigger than Potiphar. I've tried to submit myself to people, and God has said to me, they're going to work for you. Stop looking at them like that. He's a billionaire. God said, but one day he'll work for you. Stop it. And I would fight God hand and foot and teeth. And now I just go, okay. God said, I'm greater than that. So I'm just going to have to accept it. Doesn't make any sense to me. And as long as I got breath in my body, the reality of God's word is not far from me. Long as you're breathing, I don't care if it took you 10 years. I don't care if it's taking you 20 years. You still alive? Are you still alive? So if you answered me, that means you are. And hallelujah, everybody's still living. Then the visions and dreams of God are not far from you. You just need to line up with him. Amen? Amen. Yes, sir.